Radio Theater brings you Joan Caulfield, William Holden, and Billy DeWolf in Miss Susie Slagle. Ladies and gentlemen, your producer, Mr. William Keeley.
Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. Our play tonight is essentially a story about young people, medical students to be exact, their sweetheart and their classmates. So in producing the screenplay, Paramount used an exceptional array of youthful talent, and we've done the same. Starred in our cast, for instance, is one of Hollywood's happiest discoveries, Joan Caulfield, playing the same role she played in the picture. Also, William Holden, who soared to immediate stardom with his first appearance on the screen. And Billy DeWolf, playing his original screen role. Our story opens at Miss Susie Slagle's boarding house, a home away from home for generations of prospective men and wives. We take you there now with the first act of tonight's play, starring Joan Caulfield as Gret, William Holden as Pug, and Billy DeWolf as Ben. Our curtain rises on Miss Susie Slagle. After her parents died, people thought Miss Susie would be lonely in the big house on Laurel Street. But that was the year the medical school opened, and students were searching for places to live. By 1910, the house on Laurel Street was known to two generations of doctors as Miss Susie Slagle.
Is this Miss Susie Slagle's boarding house?
It sure is. Step right in, doctor.
Doctor, I hope you can say that 4 years from now.
Oh, I will. See those pictures on the wall? I call all of them doctor when they came here and when they left, too.
Well, maybe they were younger than I when they started.
Sure, that don't mean nothing. In the end, they was all doctors and good ones, too. Now, if you come upstairs, doctor, I'll show you your room.
You're a wonderful room. Say, that's it, huh? Those buildings out there?
Yes, sir. That's the medical school. You've been wanting to come here for a long time, haven't you?
Oh, it's taken me 7 years. 4 years of pre-med and 3 years trying to get the money to come here.
Oh, dinner bell in 10 minutes. First night, Miss Susie likes to have all the boys down on time.
Oh, I'd better get washed up then. Oh, where's the bathroom?
End of the hall. Hear him laughing there? That's Mr. Ben. He's a third year man. He's in there with the new boys now. Come along, I'll show you.
Well, come in, young man. Come in.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt. I didn't know you were taking a bath.
As I was saying, gentlemen, you'll soon discover that 4 years in the penitentiary is a picnic compared with 4 years in medical school. Even in the bathroom, you can't relax. Look about you. Every wall covered with anatomical drawings. The artistic efforts of your predecessors. I turn my head to the left and contemplate the complexities of the spinal column. On my right, a highly accurate reproduction of the human heart. Now, while you brush your teeth, you memorize the bones of the wrist.
But what about the girls in this town, Ben?
Ah, Mr. Abernathy, a most interesting and biteful subject. Let me introduce you to your new love, little Elise, the sweetheart of the school. Well, look, up there, on the ceiling. Now, there is really a work of art, a life-size drawing in resplendent color of the woman of your dreams. You would study medicine. From now on, when you look at a woman, that's what you'll see. No more rosy lips and sparkling eyes. From now on, every woman will be little Elise. A heart, a kidney, a spleen, blood vessels, tibias, fibulas. Oh, it's awful. Well, what are you laughing at?
Well, if medicine's so tough, what are you doing here?
Jumping sunfish. You don't think I'd be anything but a doctor, do you? Now, hand me my towel, one of you. We're going to be late for dinner. Dining room, gentlemen. Miss Susie will be in just a moment. Now, what was I saying?
Cadavers.
Ah, yes. Cadavers, cadavers, cadavers. 4 hours a day, you'll cut them up. 6 days a week for 6 months with Metz glaring over your shoulders.
Who's Metz?
Professor of anatomy and a killer. Oh, Heiser. Still seeing spots in front of your eyes, Heiser? I'd better have a look.
Never mind my spots, Mr. Ben.
Open your mouth, Heiser. Say, ah.
Ain't no third-year man gonna look in my mouth. Well, hush up now. Here she comes.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Miss Susie, these fellows claim they all belong. Shall I call the roll?
No, thank you, Ben. You know how I like to guess. Now, let me look at you. I look forward to having you here, Silas.
That's right, ma'am, and thank you.
You do look like your father, don't you? And you, you're Clayton Abernathy.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, which is the boy from China? Oh, it's you. You're Albert Reed.
Yes, ma'am.
And you're Irving Evans.
That's right.
Oh, that was a nice letter your mother wrote, Irving. That leaves the last of you, the boy from Vermont. You're St. George Prentice.
Saint which?
Well, fortunately, Miss Lego, most everybody calls me Pug.
There, Miss Susie.
Thank you, Ben. Seems like old times having you in the house again.
You mean my merry laughter singing through the halls, Miss Susie?
No, dear. I mean there was no hot water. And now, I'd like to say it's a very great pleasure to have you all here. There's only one thing I ask, that you do not fail. None of my boys has ever failed. Ready, Heiser?
Yes, ma'am. Your best cherry wine, Miss Susie.
Pass the glasses, then. And please join us, Heiser.
Yes, ma'am.
My dear boys, to your future.
You've met them all.
Oh, not Gilbert Holmes, son.
That's right, Otto. Why I've darkened Otto's door with you adolescents, I don't know. But you have completed 3 months of study, and I promise you a little reward. Between these refined walls, you'll discover the best beer in Baltimore. Right, Otto?
Oh, correct.
Well, fill them up.
I don't know, Mr. Ben, if I am happy to meet these friends of yours or not. Look at their faces.
They're
like undertakers.
They're suffering from Metz disease.
Metz disease? Professor Metz? Oh, he is a very brilliant man.
He certainly is. The trouble is, we aren't.
Did I hear someone mention Professor Metz?
Lies, come here. You fellas all know Lies Howe.
Oh, you've got that introduction wrong, my friend. Not Lies Howe. Elijah Howe, Jr., son of the physician in chief, son of the professor of medicine at this Institute of Learning. Where's that bottle, Otto?
And what's the matter with you outside of being a little drunk?
I resent being a famous man's son. That's what's the matter with me. Metz put me on probation today. He won't stand for sloppy work from Dr. Howe's son, he said. That's all I hear. Dr. Howe's son.
Oh, you boys. When will you learn that life is for enjoying? What good it does to know everything if you have no pleasure in life?
That's the way it is, Otto. No work, no MD.
Oh, but not all the time work. Your father, Silas, he too stood in this cafe many times. He found time to enjoy himself. Today, I bet you he is a fine doctor.
He was a fine doctor. Oh. He died last April, bad heart. Hadn't had a vacation in 12 years.
Oh. Well, if you permit, we will drink to him. Hold it.
Hold it.
Hey, Pug, you've been asking me to point out Dr. Faber to you. Well, there he is.
Which one?
With the cigar. He's sitting with Metz.
Oh, so Dr. Metz is here, is he?
Yes, sir. That's Faber. Best surgeon in the country. If he left the school, he could make a quarter of a million flies. Where are you going?
I'm
going
to have a little talk with the eminent Dr. Metz. I've had just about enough to drink.
Lies, don't be a sap.
Get him out, please, before he's...
Tell that little mouth face, please.
You're coming with me.
Just as soon as I told him off. Professor Metz.
Good afternoon.
Professor Metz.
Well, we were just leaving, Professor Metz.
I got one thing to say to you,
Professor Metz.
Hey, you guys. Let go of me.
What kind of nonsense is this?
Goodbye, Professor Metz.
Let go of me. Let go of me.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Who are you? And what's the matter with my brother?
Oh, nothing to worry about. A slight overdose of C2H5OH. Lige, wake up.
He's soused.
C2H5OH.
Well, how can we unsouse him?
He'll sleep it off. He'll be fine in the morning, won't you, Lige? Lige.
But he was going to help me with my geometry tonight. Now you have got me in a pickle.
I have?
Well, if he hadn't been out with you...
Well, I wasn't the only one with him.
It's very clear you felt responsible or you wouldn't have brought him home.
Now, look.
And when I'm disgraced in the morning for not having my geometry problems, it'll be largely your fault, won't it? I'll probably flunk.
Well, I wish I could help you,
but... You will? You're sure you don't mind? Oh, that'll be simply immense.
Immense?
Well, don't stand there. Hurry. Get Lies up to his room before Papa comes home, and I'll get my geometry.
Therefore, angle R equals angle S. Now, AD is perpendicular to PR. Do you know why?
Uh-uh.
Because a line perpendicular to one of two parallel lines is perpendicular to the other. Right here, see?
Yes, I see. But what do you do in Vermont in the winter?
I get ready for the summer. Now then.
Oh, it must be fun on a farm.
Oh, yeah. Great. All you have time for is to eat and sleep.
But I love to eat and sleep.
Now look. AP equals PR. Now, therefore, AP equals AR. QED. Well, that's your last problem. You understand them, Miss House?
No, I'm too dense. I just ask people to explain them because then they end up by doing them for me. Can you two-step?
Certainly I can two-step.
Let me see you.
No?
I bet you can't two-step like I can. Look, look, I'll show you. Oh, Father, this is a friend of Lai's. He's helping me with my geometry.
Oh, I see.
Well, I think I'd better be going. Homework of my own, you know. Good night, Dr. Howe.
I'll show you to the door. First year student, don't you?
Yes, sir.
He lives at Miss Susie's, Father.
You're a fortunate young man. I have an old friend in that house. Is she still in good shape?
Little Elise?
I did her liver.
Nice liver, sir.
Thank you. I was working on that the week I met Margaretta's mother. And the first lace cap that Jet ever wore was made by Miss Susie.
Well, good night, sir.
Good night, Mr. Prentice.
Good night, Miss Howell.
Give my regards to Miss Susie.
I will, sir.
Father.
Hmm?
Father, isn't he immense?
Yes, the very first little lace cap you ever wore. And it wasn't so long ago at that, was it?
Oh, you.
I just saw the bulletin board. Come on, if you don't want to miss it. Faber's going to operate. Jumping catfish. A cholecystectomy, too.
You mean we can watch?
Yes, I just got permission.
Well, what's a cholecystectomy? What did you say it was?
Gallbladder. Stupid. Bad case. Come on, Faber.
For the benefit of you students in the gallery, I am now exposing the cystic artery. Here, the operator must exercise great care. Should the hepatic artery be mistaken for the cystic, it might be fatal. We are now prepared to remove the gallbladder entirely.
Pressure 95, Doctor. Pulse 150. I go to McClellan.
See what I mean, Frank? The patient's in shock.
She's going to die?
Could be. Oh, how can he stay so calm? Doesn't he know that the breathing's getting more shallow?
Sigh. Clamp. Pressure's down to 80.
Faber's worried.
Sigh.
Look at him. Look how fast he's working now.
Ligature.
He's got to get out in a hurry. He's got to get out.
Fungus. Clamp.
She hasn't got a chance. Hey, Pug, where are you going?
I'm getting out of here.
Scissors.
Pug!
What happened, St. George? What's wrong?
I just left an operation, Miss Susie. I ran out.
Is that all? It takes some people months to get used to surgery.
The woman was dying and I ran out. Oh, I'll never get over it, Miss Susie.
Over what?
Well, when I was a kid back home, Doc Carson used to take me out on his round. One day we visited a farmer way on the outside of town. Heart trouble. Doc had to go back to town for a prescription. He left me alone with the man. And he was dying, gasping for air. He needed help to live. Just a little help. And I couldn't give it to him. I had to stand there, helpless, watching him die. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't stand it anymore. I ran away from him, same as I ran out of the operating room this afternoon.
We all get frightened, St. George.
But I've never been afraid of anything in my life, Miss Susie. Just that I couldn't bear to see that woman die. Supposing I'd been the surgeon instead of Faber, and I felt that way.
Do you suppose that Dr. Faber has never felt that kind of fear?
I tell you, Faber's the finest man in the world.
Gee, I wish I'd have been there.
The gosh darnedest job I ever saw. Before I left, the nurse was saying that woman'd be going home in 3 weeks. What a man!
Then she didn't die.
It doesn't seem so.
Faber saved her. Oh, I should have known. He's so doggone sure of himself. He wasn't helpless, was he? He really knew, didn't he?
Yes. He really knew. And someday so will you. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Wingate telephoned.
Mrs. Wingate? The Dean's wife?
Don't be alarmed. Just to leave word for all you boys, there'll be a dance at their home on Christmas Eve.
Holy smoke! Oh, it's almost Christmas, isn't it? Oh, thanks, Miss Susie. Thanks.
out of the car. This is the Wingate.
Father, Father, do I look exactly right?
Of course you do. Why?
Oh, this is my first real party, and Mother thinks I'm still a baby.
Well?
Oh, she choked up the front of my dress with tulle because she said it was too low for a young girl to wear, and I think it looks tacky.
Looks fine to me.
Well, that's because I took the tulle off.
Oh.
Well, do you think it's all right?
On one condition. Be sure to sew it back on before your mother sees it. Can we go in now?
Father, would you answer an important question?
I'll try.
Suppose a man wants to kiss me. Should I let him?
Well, not unless you want him to, Gret. But if you want to, you bet you kiss him. You see, kisses are to love like thermometers are to fever. You can't tell how bad you've got it without them.
You're really wonderful, Papa.
Well, thanks, Gret.
I guess we can go in now.
Good. Oh, Gret, about kisses.
Yes?
Like thermometers, if you use them too much, they tend to become inaccurate.
I'll remember, Pa. Thanks.
I thought you were talking to me. I beg your pardon.
I am talking to you.
You are?
I was just fixing my hair. Why aren't you in there dancing?
Well, you see, I just got...
This is the first time I've had my hair up.
Oh, maybe that's why you look the way you do.
How do I look?
You look, you look like a field does the first thing in the morning when the sun just hits it.
Oh, all wet and cold?
Oh, no, I didn't mean that at all. I meant...
Have you a dance program?
Why, no, do I need one?
Oh, yes, of course. Here.
Oh. Oh, well, there's someone's initials on this. M.H. Who's M.H.?
Me.
Well, who are you?
Oh, fine.
I know you.
Think hard. My brother's a friend of yours, and I'm dumb at geometry, but very good at the two-step.
Oh.
Well, it's about time.
Well, you've certainly grown up, but you sure act just the same.
You don't mind, do you?
Oh, no, not at all. I think it's simply immense.
You're worried about my character, aren't you, Mr. Prentice? Do you really think I'm forward?
Well, I...
You shouldn't worry. My character will improve with age. Everyone says I'm just like my mother, and you ought to see how dignified she is. She's a perfect doctor's wife.
Is that what you want to be?
That's what I'm going to be. Well, what's so funny about that? You decided to be a doctor, didn't you? Well, I decided to marry one.
And when you decide to do something, I guess there's no stopping you, is there? I sure feel sorry for the man you decide to hook.
Oh, I expect you'll wriggle a little, but it won't do you any good.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now let's concentrate on the dance, huh?
Oh, let's not dance. Let's sit this one out.
Now listen, lady. I'm just a poor medical student.
Oh, I don't care. That's the way all doctors begin. I'm young. I'll wait.
Get with you?
No, I left the party sort of early, Dad.
So did I, and I've been waiting up to see you, lad, about your studies.
Oh, yes, it seems I disgraced you properly this time.
I want to find out why your marks are so low and how you can improve them. Forget about me.
Well, how can I forget about you? You're a physician-in-chief, professor of medicine.
What's that got to do with your record?
Everything. They all think of me as your son. Nobody lets me be myself.
You knew all about that when you decided to take medicine.
I didn't decide to take medicine. You decided that for me.
Now, wait a minute, Lyle.
You even gave me your name.
You're soft and lazy and spoiled. And if I'm at fault, it's for letting you get that way.
You think it's a cinch being the son of a famous man?
Nothing's a cinch, and you better learn that now. If you've decided you don't like medicine, get out of it. And if you feel that living under my shadow is too great a handicap, get out of that too.
All right, Dad, I will.
Well, looks like we're home, Pug.
Uh-huh.
Thanks for all the dances.
Thanks for letting me walk you home.
I'd like to ask you in, but it's awfully late.
Yeah. Well, good night, Fred.
Good night, Pug. Pug, you're under the porch light.
We are? Oh, does that mean something?
It's supposed to when mistletoe is tied to it.
Oh, I'm not very bright, am I?
I'm waiting, Pug.
Thanks, Gret.
Thank you, Pug. You know something? Father was right.
Father can go to the devil.
Why? What on and with a suitcase.
I'm leaving his happy home. Hollow pug.
You've had a row with Father.
You even you can't fix it.
Well, where is it going?
I don't know. Only that I'm not going back inside this house.
Well, why don't you go to Miss Susie's with Pug? That would be all right, wouldn't it?
I guess so. Well, sure. Well, just for the night, if you don't think Miss Susie would mind.
You know perfectly well she'd do anything in the world.
For Eliza Howe's son.
For a friend of mine. Come on, Liz.
Thanks, Pug.
Good night, Jeff.
Don't make any noise, Liz. The stairs are over here.
Okay.
I'll take your bag and...
Yes, ma'am.
You'll find the house for your guests in the linen closet.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
But how did she know?
Don't ask me. I guess Miss Susie knows everything. Merry Christmas, Liz.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Pat.
John Caulfield, William Holden, and Billy DeWolf will return with Act Two of Miss Susie Slagle's in a moment. Of all the libraries in the United States, it is interesting that the greatest one was provided originally for the use of congressmen. Until just before the turn of the century, the library was in the Capitol building. But the continuous addition of new volumes required new and larger quarters. So in 1897, the first separate permanent home for the Library of Congress was completed. By law, all books copyrighted in the United States must be sent to the library. So by 1939, $8 million more was spent for an annex. Today, with 55 million items, including 14 million books, more than 18 million manuscripts, and huge files of maps, prints, photographs, and reels of microfilm, the Library of Congress must grow again. By the early 1970s, a new edition will provide for the old and the 17,000 new items received each week. What started decades ago as a simple reference room for Congress has grown into the largest library in the world. Here's your producer, William Keeley.
We continue with Act Two of Miss Susie Slagle, starring Joan Caulfield as Jet, William Holden as Pug, and Billy the Wolf as Ben. For the boys at Miss Susie Slagle's, the months have flown by. Now, on the eve of second year examinations, a lamp burns far into the night in the house on Laurel Street. And the lamp that burns longest is in the room of Elijah Howe, Jr.
It's no use, fellas. I'm too far behind. The funny part is I'd really like to make the grade.
Now that you've made your little speech, we'll continue. As I said before, Dr. Bowen should ask you something about diseases of the liver.
Well, there's hypertrophic biliary cirrhosis.
And what else?
Pick's disease.
That's not exactly cirrhosis. What else?
Well, there's...
What about hemochromatosis?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Well, what are the microscopic appearances of the liver in this disease?
I don't remember.
You do remember.
Well, there's fibrosis and the...
And the pigment is found in the pleural spaces.
Also in the parenchymal cells. You remember.
Oh, stop telling me I remember because I don't.
And go on, get to bed.
We'll get to bed after you've learned about liver. Now, get this. Microscopically, the pigment is deposited first in the sinusoidal endothelium.
Sinusoidal endothelium.
Then in the lining epithelium of the small bile duct. Understand? Lining epithelium of the small bile duct.
It's after 2 o'clock. You've got to get some sleep.
I've got an exam in the morning, Miss Susie.
But you don't know now, my dear. You're not going to learn by morning. Lies. Have you seen your father lately?
No, Miss Susie.
I'm sorry, because... Your father really...
I'd rather not talk about the great Dr. Howe, Miss Susie.
All right. But I want you to promise me something. Howe's is making you a hot milk punch. I want you to drink it and go straight to bed. Will you?
But I...
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. There's one thing you're not counting on that's going to help you tomorrow.
What's that, Miss Susie?
You're one of my boys now. And none of my boys has ever failed. Good night, Lyle.
Beer.
Causing. And Ben, did you hear the news I passed?
We all made it.
Yeah,
Second year exams. I remember they seemed mighty important to me at the time.
What's the matter with you?
Oh, nothing. I just got my appointment, fellas, that's all.
What hospital,
Ben? Right here.
Oh, Ben, that's good. Not everyone gets appointed here.
1 in 20, the dean said.
Ah, great scholar, the dean.
Otto, set him up while I call my girl. Oh, who's that sixth bit?
What, again?
Do we have to pay every time you call your girl?
Oh, let's not quibble, fellas. It costs money to telephone long distance. Now, please, I'd like six bits.
Well, that's better. As soon as we're married, you fellas can drop around on Saturday nights and drink a little beer with us. Maybe we'll even let you play with the kid.
Oh, what a girl.
Waiting for me faithfully all these years. Well, I'll be right back, fellas. Hey, guys, what do you say we sell an 8-inch girl?
Okay. Look, if he's trying to talk to her on the phone,
oh, that's a little background music. Come on, Bert, get us a piano.
Well, then, where's our sixth bet?
I talked to her mother. She got married last week. Oh. To a guy with a job in the bank. A very good friend of mine, Pinky Busterson.
Oh, gosh, Ben, I...
Wednesday afternoon, 3 o'clock. Church wedding. I guess it takes too long to become a doctor. Too long to expect the girl to wait for...
For the guy who works in a bank. Otto, give me a drink. You don't have to apologize, Ben. I'd come home drunk, too, if I were you.
Imagine my Pinky Busterson. I used to play mumblety peg with him. Beat him every time. Every single time.
I'm sure you did, dear. How does his cold cloth feel?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Know what, Miss Susie?
What?
Pinky hasn't got a hair on his head. Bald as a billiard ball. And I'm going to be the darndest best orthopedist she ever saw.
You bet you are, Ben. You just bet you are.
Now, gentlemen, as third-year students, you'll start work in the clinic today. There, you will have your first opportunity at diagnosis. Just remember that without diagnosis, the rest of medicine is... Well, nurse, what is it?
A message for Mr. Prentice, doctor. He's wanted to meet at you in the dean's office.
The dean? Run along, Prentice. Come to the clinic as soon as you're free.
Oh, excuse me, but the nurse said that... Why, Greg?
Hello?
Where's your father?
Do you like my new suit?
Yeah, I like it fine. Where's your father?
I don't know.
But he sent for me.
I did.
You mean to tell me, just to show me a dress or something?
It's not a dress, it's a suit.
Look, I'm in class, the clinic, way on the other side of town.
Don't yell at me.
But you ought to know better than that.
I do know better. If you'd come around and see me once in a while, I wouldn't have to take such desperate measures.
Oh, Greta, I've been awfully busy.
I haven't seen you in 2 months. If you think I'm silly or boring, just say so.
I don't think you're silly. I think, well... You know what I think of you. But can't you see, Greg? I'm just a farmer with fancy ambitions to become a doctor and with no reason to think I'll make good at it. And it just so happens that you're Dr. Howe's daughter.
What difference does that make?
What difference? What difference?
Hello, Prentice.
excuse me, Dr. Howe. I got to get back to the clinic. Goodbye, Greg.
Every time I see that young man, he acts as if he just robbed the bank. Is he sweet on you?
No, he isn't. And I'm just beginning to sympathize with lies. I'm very sorry, Papa, but it's a lot of trouble having you for a father.
Oh, no, sir. Where did Dr. Bowen go?
Oh, I couldn't tell, Mr. Jennings. Oh, your friend said they'd see you at lunch.
Oh, thanks. Hey, what's this little boy doing here?
Well, I can't convince him that the clinic's closed. Really, Simon, it's no use waiting.
What's the matter, kid? Got a bellyache?
Help me, mister. It's my dog.
Oh, what's the matter with your dog?
Well, those automobiles ran over him.
Well, the thing to do is to take him to a veterinary.
Well, I did, but he says he hurt so bad he wouldn't even try to fix him.
So you came over here?
Yeah, now the nurse won't do it either. He's gonna drive.
Look, I'll tell you what. You go and get your dog as fast as you can. Now, right in back of this building is a sign that says Experimental Laboratory. I'll be there. Can you remember that? Experimental Laboratory. Now, go on, run.
Oh, right back, mister. Thanks.
Say, nurse, call Miss Susie, will you, and tell Lise Howe to get over here at the X Lab?
Oh, could Bert come, too?
Bert? You know him, huh?
He's sort of.
Yeah, Bert, too, by all means.
Oh, thanks. Oh, what if Dr. Faber needs the laboratory?
He won't be needing it. He's lecturing. Hurry now, hurry.
My dog. Oh, do you work here, too?
Oh, now and then. My name is Dr. Faber. What's your... Dog? You said dog?
He was run over. They're fixing him inside there.
I see.
Oh, they don't want me to go in. Oh, you better not go in either.
Oh, I'll be quiet. You keep waiting out here. There's a tear in the spleen.
Yeah.
I'll have to remove it, agreed?
I think you're right.
You'd have better chance for Jason failing.
Right away, too.
Sponge, look at this. Tired. Lies.
Saline started.
It'll last much longer, Pug. Force it first. Sponge. Come on.
Yeah. What are you waiting for?
Sponge. Okay. Now the scissors. Medical seems okay. No other blood vessels need time. All right, let's get out in a hurry. Shoot you, Lies. I said shoot.
Pug, look.
Dr. Faber.
You've got very little time. I suggest you don't waste it on me.
Yes, sir. Shoot you, Lies.
Shoot you. Well, young man. Your friends and the little boy have taken the dog to the basement. He'll recover.
I've cleaned up everything, Dr. Faber. Well, if you're waiting for me to make excuses for using your laboratory, I haven't any.
Fenders, did I understand you correctly before? You do not want to become a surgeon?
No, sir, I...
You aspire to the prescription of pills, cough medicines, and powdered frog legs, is that it?
No, sir, I want to be a surgeon, all right, but...
You just said you didn't.
I meant... If I can.
Well, what's to stop you? Not that old nonsense about hands.
My hands are sort of big, sir.
Big and blunt, eh? That's a legend perpetuated by surgeons with long, thin fingers. That dog just now. I suppose you think it was smart to move so fast in an operation of that kind.
No, sir.
Well, it was. A saline transfusion was good, too. But you have a great deal to learn, Fenty. Watch all the operations you can. Critically. Not passively. End of next year, if you still want to be a surgeon, drop around and see me.
I certainly will, Dr. Faber. Thank you.
Dogs in my laboratory. Dogs.
Pug, can't your bicycle any faster than me?
Huh? Oh, sure. Pug's going to be fine, Gret. A successful splenectomy in 11 minutes.
That's wonderful, Pug. Watch the pedals.
I remember one summer I won a cucumber picking contest. I had big hands, see? But these same hands removed the spleen in 11 minutes.
Hmm?
Come to think of it, Kelly has blunt fingers, and he's one of the finest surgeons in the world.
Pug, it's raining. It's raining hard.
Not that I'm comparing myself to Kelly, but after all...
I said it's raining.
And Faber isn't the type to hand out compliments right and left either.
No, it's pouring.
As a matter of fact, I'm told...
Pug!
Huh? What's the matter?
You great big baboon. You don't come in for months, and then when you do, all you talk about is your darn old surgery.
But that...
And then you keep me out riding a bicycle in the pouring rain until my hair's all straggling down, and I'll probably catch my death of cold. Well, goodbye, Mr. Candy.
Gret, wait a minute.
I don't want to talk to you.
Oh, please don't be angry, Gret. How'd I know it was
going
to rain?
I'm going home.
Oh, you can't go home in this storm. Gret, watch out. The road's slippery. Gret, that puddle... Oh, gee, Gret. You're mud all over.
Well, at least you're becoming a little more observant.
As for getting mad at me for all that medical talk, well, you're going to have to listen to a lot of operations when you're married to a surgeon.
Oh, I am, and... What did you say?
Well, you told me so yourself. Once you decide to do something, there's no stopping you. You said I'd wriggle some, but it wouldn't do any good.
I never said anything of the kind.
Hey, there's some mud on your face. Get a handkerchief. Hold your face up.
Like this?
Yeah. That's better. Forehead, too.
got all the mud off?
Uh-huh.
Tug, I'm still holding my face up.
Oh, yeah. Here, blow. Pardon?
Oh, you.
Now what?
Please, Mr. Tranter, give me a kiss.
Oh. Oh, sure, Greg. I certainly will.
Bring you Act 3 of Miss Susie Slagle, starring Joan Caulfield, William Holden, and Billy DeWolf in a moment. We return you now to William Keeley. Act 3 of Miss Susie Slagle, starring Joan Caulfield as Gret, William Holden as Pug, and Billy DeWolf as Ben. It's the first day of Easter vacation at the medical school. That means open house at Miss Susie Slagle. Not only for the students, but for all Miss Susie's boys.
Oh, Lars.
Oh, hello, Jim Ranger.
Hey, isn't your father coming?
I really don't know.
Ah, very obstinate man, Lars. And I think you take after him.
Yes,
sir. Hi, sir. Where are you? I'm dry as a chip.
Coming, sir. Coming. You take it easy now. You're getting too old to drink.
Where's Miss Susie, Ivor?
She's upstairs, Miss Burke.
Riggs? Brett Riggs?
Well, he wasn't feeling too good. She wanted to visit with him a while.
Hey, don't move, my friend.
If you babies think you work hard, well, you tried being resident physicians. Thanks, Kaiser. Oh, how are your spots?
Never mind my spots, Mr. Ben. Just because you're wearing that little white suit don't make you a doctor.
Kaiser, you'll join us, won't you?
Thank you, sir. Got my silver cup already.
Still the same cup?
Yes, sir. The one you give me in 1894.
And still taking it straight, I noticed.
Three fingers even, sir.
How can you tell, Heiser? Silver cup isn't transparent.
I can't see, Mr. Pug, but I judge you fine.
And sometimes you misjudge
it. Yes, sir, but when I misjudge it, nobody dies from it.
Well, boys, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
And a solemn tribute to the little lady on the third floor. Are you ready?
Yes.
Yes, Ivan.
There's somebody waiting for you to call on this line.
Okay. I'll go right in.
Hello, Lars.
Yeah.
Your mother always said that my patients came off better than my family. Lars, we miss you.
Oh, I'm glad to see you, Dad. Very glad. But, I'm not coming home to live in case you come here.
Why not?
Well, at home, I'm your son. Here, I'm on my own.
Lars, I noticed you didn't apply for an internship.
I'm planning to go into pathology, Dad.
Pathology? Oh, now listen, Lars. I always figured
I know you did. But I like pathology.
Sorry, boy. Of course. Someday I'll learn that you've a mind of your own and a life of your own. I should have realized that years ago. We can be friends again, can't we?
Dad, of course.
You know, we should have sent you to Miss Susie's in the first place. Well, let's join the others. Did the singing bring you down, Miss Susie?
I'm glad you're here, Dr. Howe. I'm afraid you're quite ill. Doctor, could you go up and see him?
Of course, Miss Susie, right away. Oh, Ben, you better come with me. I'm sorry to tell you, boys. Bert has diphtheria. The rest of you will have to have protective injections at once. We've had four other cases at the hospital. Oh, Ben, he'll need a nurse. Make arrangements.
Yes, sir.
There's no need of that. We'll look after him.
Diphtheria is a dangerous disease, Miss Susie.
Elijah Howe, do you think I've lived near doctors for 23 years without learning which diseases are dangerous?
No, ma'am. All right, then. You, Heiser, and the boys can take care of him. I want one of you boys with him all the time. Bert is very sick. It's begun to affect his heart. Oh, Miss Susie, I think you'd better notify his family.
Bert has no family here. His parents are missionaries in China.
There's no one?
Oh, there's a girl, Dr. Howe. Bert seems very fond of her, sir.
A nurse at the hospital, Nan Summers.
Better let her know then. Now listen carefully. I'll tell you exactly what I want done.
Thanks for calling me, Mr. Kenneth. He's sleeping now.
We're doing everything we can, ma'am.
I know.
I'll go back to his room.
No, it's 10 o'clock, Liz. I'll take over.
Oh, call me if you need me, Parker.
Sure.
He's awfully sick.
This is the worst time.
You'll be with him all night?
Till 4.
Thanks a lot of you. Take good care of him.
I will.
I'll telephone as soon as I get off duty.
Now, don't worry, ma'am. He's going to be all right.
Sure. Come on.
Thank you, Parker.
Thought you were asleep.
My pulse is lower. You know what that means?
Bert, you're not supposed to be talking.
You saw that diphtheria heart in the lab. Nobody could live with a heart like that.
You've got to be quiet.
Remember what the book says, Parker. A very slow pulse would see the heart sound make a fatal termination certain. The book's right.
Doug, I'm so glad if you don't rest.
Have you ever been afraid to die, Parker? It's not that I'm afraid. But not now. Not when I've just begun to live.
You're not going to die, Bert.
Can you help me? Can't you do something, Pug?
Bert.
Pug. Pug, where are you going? Don't leave me, Pug. Don't leave me.
That's you, Pug. Anything wrong? I said, is anything wrong?
Lies, I...
Those of you whom I've assigned to outside maternity duty may have to work without an intern. Well, you wanted to be doctors. Now get to work.
Okay, well, let's...
What did you get, Pug?
Obstetrics.
Are you lucky, Stiv? Well, what's the matter? Did you like it?
Nothing's the matter.
Well, that's what you want, isn't it?
Is it? Will you be seeing Dr. Rice?
Naturally.
Well, tell him he'll have to forget about me. Tell him to get someone else.
Pug!
All right, then don't. I'll tell him myself.
But, Pug, darling, what's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. You shouldn't have called me up, Gret. I don't know why I said I'd come over.
But I want so very much to help, to understand. Please tell me.
I don't want to talk about it. Please, Gret, leave me alone.
Do you only want me to be around when you're proud of yourself? To be glad with you when things are going fine? Is that what you think love is, Pug? Anybody could do that. I wanted to be your wife.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gret. Goodbye.
Pug! Come in.
Oh, if you want, Miss Susie.
Taxi?
That's right. I'm leaving.
The hospital just telephoned for you.
I told Heiser to tell him I'm not going.
But they called again. They need you. Don't you know a doctor can't accept or refuse calls according to the way he feels?
I'm not a doctor. Whatever it takes, I haven't got. They ought to be glad I'm leaving.
You're thinking of Bert.
Certainly I'm thinking of Bert.
No one could have helped him. Not even Dr. Howell. You know that.
Yes, I know that. But the one he wanted the most wouldn't have run out and left him. I did.
You couldn't have helped Bert. But you can help some poor woman who's waiting for a doctor.
I'm not going.
I'm afraid you'll have to. I told them you'd be there.
You did what?
I told them you were on your way. After tonight, you can leave if you want to. But not now.
Supposing I can't help that woman, Miss Susie. Supposing it's the same as it was with Bert.
But it won't be the same, and you will be able to help her. They've sent a nurse on ahead. Here's the address. Now get over there.
But Miss Susie...
And you'd better hurry, St. George.
That you, Pad? Come in.
Ma'am. They said a nurse would be here. I didn't know it was you. I heard you left town.
I came back. Bert wouldn't have wanted me to quit. Not at a time like this.
Did you bring the clinical records?
Yes. The woman's 34. This is her third child. No complications. The family's inside. If you're ready, I'll tear them all out.
Go ahead. I'm as ready as I'll ever be.
Everything's all right, isn't it? Isn't it?
Oh, sure, Mrs. Johnson. Everything's going to be fine. Ma'am, come here.
Yes?
You're sure those clinical records showed no complications?
Why, no.
Something's wrong somewhere. Child's heartbeat is very slow. Circulation's blocked.
Well, I'm all ready if you have to intervene.
It wouldn't help.
Ain't nothing going to happen to the baby, Doctor. Doctor, tell me.
Oh, please, Mrs. Johnson. We'll do everything we can.
Your help, won't you, Doctor? I'll phone the hospital for an intern.
How do you know they've got one to spare? Besides, there isn't any time. Pull that cord.
Operate?
Do I have any choice?
No.
Get the father in here. Show him how to give ether.
Yes, sir.
And don't frighten him. Mrs. Johnson? Now, don't worry, Mrs. Johnson. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. And so will your baby. You're sure there ain't nothing wrong with the baby?
You sure, Doctor?
Oh, the baby's fine. So's your wife, in case you're interested.
Oh, sure. Sure I am, Doctor.
Why do they always worry about the baby first?
I don't know, but they do.
You stay with her, Mr. Johnson. She'll be waking up soon, and she'll want to see you.
You're going to be a fine doctor.
You're going to be a fine nurse.
I need to be. I'm going away, Pug.
Home?
Well, in a funny kind of way, I'm going home. I'm going to China.
China?
I want to live where Bert and I would have lived, to do the things we planned to do. They've accepted me at a mission hospital.
You're not afraid?
No, Pug. I'm not afraid.
That's right, man. I'm not either. Not anymore.
Well, here you are, Miss Susie. Our class picture.
Best looking group of doctors you ever had, Miss Susie.
Cab's waiting, boys. Don't want to miss your train.
I can't believe it. Your doctor is now. You're leaving me.
Now, Miss Susie.
It's all right, gentlemen. She's entitled to a good cry once a year.
I just want to say I've loved having you here. Each one of you. Thank you for never having disappointed me. Thank you for liking me. Come back and visit us as often as you can. Heiser and me and little Elise. Silas, give my love to your mother.
I will, Miss Susie, and thank you for everything.
Clayton. Good luck, Clayton.
Thanks, Miss Susie.
You sure you write me as soon as you get to London, Irvin?
I will, Miss Susie.
We'll wait for you in the cab, Pug.
I don't see
St. George.
Goodbye, Miss Susie. Oh, in case you see Margaretta Howe, tell her that if she doesn't mind, I'd like to see her when I get back.
I'll tell her. Oh, I'm glad you're going to be with Dr. Faber. I couldn't bear to lose all of you at once.
You won't lose me, Miss Susie. Anything I ever may amount to, you'll have part in. And that's true of every doctor that ever walked out of this house.
Thank you.
Won't miss you, Mr. Pug.
Goodbye, Heiser.
Here I come, fellas.
So long, Pug.
Hey, wait a minute.
See you at the station.
Hey, wait for me. Hey.
Can I give you a lift, Doctor?
Good.
I just thought I'd drive you to the station.
Oh, good. You're the last person in the world I expected to see.
We'd better hurry.
And the one I wanted to see the most.
I hope you're not going to miss that train.
Oh, and I don't blame you if you haven't much use for me.
You better get going.
I wouldn't blame you at all.
Oh, Pug.
Gret, have I any chance at all?
Why do you think I'm here, you big back end? Now, hurry up and kiss me or we'll never get started.
Glad to go, Miss Susie.
Still think I did wrong phoning Miss Gret?
No, I guess you did all right. Guess you did fine.
Miss
that down the street, Heiser?
Hmm?
Looks like a new student. Well, take good care of him.
Excuse me, is this Miss Susie Swagel?
It sure is.
Why, I'm looking for a place to live near the medical school.
I'll take your bag, sir. Step right in. Mighty glad to have you with us. Doctor?
Our stars will be back for their curtain calls in just a minute. Here's Mr. Keeley at the microphone.
We are grateful to Miss Susie Slagle for bringing together tonight's delightful stars, Joan Caulfield, William Holden, and Billy DeWolf. Incidentally, Billy, how do you like radio?
It was very nice to hear in Susie Slagle's set. Oh, it's so embarrassing. I just paid $17.50 to have those six.
How was that again, Billy?
I said I wouldn't have missed participating in tonight's show.
Well, I think we got the idea, but what happened to your voice all of a sudden?
Well, last week I listened to Lauren Bacall blow her whistle on the air, so I thought I'd whistle back at her.
Oh. I'm giving her the wolf call, huh?
You know, you ought to get a job as an announcer, Billy, and instead of singing commercials, we could have whistling commercials.
Do you think I'd be useful in selling soap?
Well, at least you'd be whistling while you work.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, and many thanks for Susie's pleasure. This is William Keeley, saying good night to you from Hollywood.
Forces Radio and Television Service.